Good morning. It's 11 minutes before the hour. You're listening to Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka. Today is Friday, April 19th, 2024. I'm Brooke Schaefer with Raven News. Cancer patients in Juneau who need gynecological surgery no longer have to leave town to get it. As KTOO's Katie Anastas reports, providers hope it will make life-saving procedures more accessible.
When Suzanne Lukin learned she had cancer, it came as a surprise.
There was no pain. There was nothing at all. No indication. I was tired, but, you know, I'm 77.
She'd gone to the doctor after other symptoms appeared.
I thought I had a kidney infection because I started to pass blood. So I went to the walk-in, search walk-in over in Vintage Park, and they said, no, that's not what you think.
Instead, Lukin was diagnosed with uterine cancer.
The first thing that hits you when they say it's cancer, immediately you think of people you know that have had devastating experiences, you know, and you're thinking, oh my gosh.
Similar thoughts came up when she learned she needed to have a hysterectomy, a surgery to remove the uterus.
I can remember back, you know, my mother, my aunt, my grandmother, all of my family members had had hysterectomies. I feel very fortunate that the terror of what I'd seen with them did not overcome me.
For her family members, hysterectomies had required a large incision in the abdomen and several weeks of recovery. Today, they can usually be done with minimally invasive techniques, if a hospital has the right equipment and the right doctors. And now, Juneau's Bartlett Regional Hospital does. Doctors from Alaska Women's Cancer Care are flying down from Anchorage twice a month to meet with and operate on gynecologic cancer patients. Lukin became their first surgery patient in Juneau. The procedure was done with the Da Vinci Xi surgical system, a robotic system Bartlett got last year.
That was when we were in a position to be able to really bring the same level of care here to town that we were providing in Anchorage.
Dr. Melissa Hardesty is a gynecological oncologist and one of the co-owners of Alaska Women's Cancer Care. She says the Da Vinci Xi system allows for more precise movement for surgeons.
The instrument has a wrist, and that allows us to do much more complicated motion. It would just be like, imagine the things you can do in life if you had wrist splints on both of your wrists or not.
It also means smaller incisions and an easier recovery for many patients. That was the case for Lukin.
There's four teensy tiny scars, that's all. I mean, it's amazing. It truly is amazing.
Hardesty and Dr. Joni Hope usually travel to Juneau on Wednesday night, see patients on Thursday, and do surgeries on Friday. Hardesty says their consistent schedule means Juneau-based patients have more time to sit with the surgery recommendation and think about their options.
In the Anchorage model, we really tried to have it be a turnaround. Like, I'm going to see you, I'm going to operate on you the next day. That's a lot for people. Why did we do it that way? Because it's expensive. People don't want to make two flights. Well, if we're here and it needs to be, like, less hurried, it can be. I can see you. We can do surgery in a couple weeks when the next person is up here. You know, if it's just people need time to think about what they want to do or what's right for them or, you know, all of that, it's just going to be a lot, just a better pace for people.
It was a better pace for Lukin. If she'd had to go to Anchorage, she says, she may have put it off.
I think I would have been a lot more upset had I had to go to Anchorage, get a hotel, get a car, get somebody to stay with me, you know, and then you're there for a week. How many people can afford to take a vacation, so to speak, with hotels and plane fare and everything else to go for health reasons?
Instead, after surgery, she got to go home and fall asleep in her own bed.
I think it's important that women realize, hey, we now can go through a surgery that we need with no problems. And we can do it right here in our own home. Well, hometown, I should say. You know, and feel comfortable about it. It's not the big, scary thing that it used to be.
She hopes other women will see how important and now how accessible this kind of treatment can be. In Juneau, I'm Katie Anastas.
While others were on vacation, a group of Ketchikan students spent their spring break rehearsing a theater production. The performing arts camp was put on by Southeast Alaska Heritage Institute, and the play they learned was adapted from a traditional Tsimshian origin story. KRBD's Michael Finelli stopped by the final day of rehearsals and has this story.
12-year-old Dominic Blair is one of the four narrators in the play The Origin of Sun, Moon, and Fog. He's standing at a podium in the back of the Discovery Center Performance Hall.
It was in the beginning, before anything that lives in our world was created. There was only the chief in heaven. There was no light in the sky. There was only darkness.
The play comes from a traditional Tsimshian story. Over the course of 5 days, the preteens learned lines, cues, song, and dance. Friday of spring break was the last day of rehearsal before the big performance that evening. After they finished practicing, Blair was feeling excited, but a little apprehensive.
I just hope it goes well.
Blair is Tlingit and Tsimshian, and a member of the Eagle Moiety. The spring break camp is part of a program called Voices on the Land, put on by the Sealaska Heritage Institute, or SHI. SHI's mission is to perpetuate and enhance the native cultures of Southeast Alaska. And this educational program does that by immersing students in visual and performing arts, all through an Indigenous lens.
I've watched these camps over the years, and it makes a difference.
Mansandoga Dagiet Nancy Barnes has been working for SHI for 8 years, coordinating their education projects.
I've seen it myself. It's made a difference in young people's, our children's lives, and it gives them confidence knowing who they are.
Dominic Blair seems to agree, calling the week of working with his peers amazing.
I'm just really happy to meet all these new people and to work with these people, to know that they worked so hard as well as I did. It has been a whole ride.
Sun stopping for a little while in the middle of the sky, they shouted for joy. Full of joy, they said.
Tora Zamora is the person behind the scenes making it all happen. She was born and raised in Ketchikan and says her great-grandmother was part of the migration to Metlakatla from Tsimshian territory.
And then she moved here to Ketchikan, my great-grandma Selene, and raised her kids on Creek Street area.
Zamora started an apprenticeship with SHI last year, focused on education through performing arts. As part of that, she put together this spring break camp, teaching 4th, 5th, and 6th graders how to act out a play. She says the story was documented by a Tsimshian man named Henry Tate, who worked with anthropologist Franz Boas to translate it into English in the late 1800s. Zamora, in turn, took that old English story and adapted it into a performance that would make sense to kids. She also added a personal touch to it.
And at the very end of the play, when they go gaudy, that's more my own little plug in there, because that's a word my grandma would still speak throughout life, but it was mostly like after she fed her dogs treats, she would say gaudy, which means like all gone, all done. And so it's just a tribute to my grandmother.
Zamora says her grandmother's first language was Somaliek, the Tsimshian language. But because she was forcefully, often violently punished for speaking it, she didn't teach it to her children.
Just two generations ago, my grandmother wasn't allowed to speak Somaliek, which implies she was not allowed to be her native self. She wasn't allowed to celebrate her Tsimshian identity and all that knowledge that comes with it.
Zamora says even her own Tsimshian identity wasn't celebrated when she was in school, less than 10 years ago. It still wasn't cool to be native, as she puts it. In recent years, though, she's noticed things have started to change.
We're seeing this like shift in our generation and the young people now, where we're just, it is something to value, and we can speak it in school now. We can learn it and teach it.
Opportunities like this performing arts camp, she says, are a rare chance for kids to embrace their true Indigenous selves, uplifting the language and storytelling tied to that identity. The camp was open to the public, with priority given to tribal-enrolled kids. Zamora says a few participants were non-native, but they did great learning all the songs and dances. She says these cultural traditions are something the entire community should become familiar with.
Because if you're living here in Ketchikan, Gishishkan, or anywhere in Southeast Alaska, you should have knowledge of the indigenous history of this land and the people who still live here and reside.
The performers were expecting a packed house at the Discovery Center for their Friday night showcase, with a live stream provided by the U.S. Forest Service for viewers checking in from as far away as Mexico.
That is the end.
Reporting in Ketchikan, I'm Michael Finelli.
I'm Brooke Schaefer, and this has been Raven News. And now taking a quick look at the weather for Sitka for today, Friday, April 19th, 2024. Today, sunny with a high near 57, east wind around 10 miles per hour. Tonight, mostly clear with a low around 43, southeast wind 5 to 10 miles per hour. You're tuned into your community radio station, Raven Radio KCAW in Sitka. Good morning.